I'd like to read in the opening of our meeting tonight in the Gospel of John and chapter 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. Just a few verses at the beginning of chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? Now come over, please, down the chapter, rather, to verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly or inward parts shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, This is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now God will bless to our hearts, we believe, the reading of this portion of his precious word, and we trust any comments we might make upon it. When I was thinking of this feast to which the Lord Jesus Christ went, one of the outstanding things about this feast, it was really the Feast of Tabernacles. But you'll notice in the beginning of our reading that it is referred to as a feast of the Jews. If we were to go back to the book of Leviticus, in chapter 23, we would find the feasts of Jehovah, these feasts that were commemorated. And when we come to the Gospel of John, we find that in chapter 2, they kept the feast of Passover. In chapter 5, they kept the Feast of Pentecost. Here in chapter 7, we read about the Lord Jesus going up to the Feast of Tabernacles. But the interesting thing is this, that no longer are these feasts referred to as Feasts of Jehovah. They're called Feasts of the Jews. And apparently, as far as Jehovah is concerned, as far as the God of Israel was concerned, it would appear that he was on the outside of it all. There was a form, there was a ritual, there might have been ceremony, there might have been sacrifices, and a lot of the things done at those feasts that had been done for many years by the Jews. But as far as God was concerned, it would appear that he was on the outside of it all. And it seems to me, it appealed to me that this is the condition of things in the world in which we're living today. There's much religion. There's much fanfare. There are creeds and doctrines and cults and all manner of things today when it comes to the matter of worship, but it seems as though God himself, in all the perfections of his person and our Lord Jesus Christ, are left out of the picture. And so tonight we would like to present to you not a religion, not a creed, not a particular doctrine. We would like to present the gospel of Christ. We would like to present the Lord Jesus Christ to you tonight. When we come after that last day of the feast, for this was a feast that took place for 8 days, and the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." You know, last days are very important days. Last days are the days that we're living in just now. Not only the fact that it's the dispensation of grace, which of course right from its beginning were referred to as the last days, but we're in the last of the last days, we're in the last of this dispensation of grace, we're in the very last moments, if you will, of that time when God is offering free salvation to sinners, when there's an opportunity of men and women, boys and girls, younger ones and older ones as well, getting right with God. I want to impress our minds tonight with the fact that we're living in the end times. We're living in a time when the opportunity of salvation will soon be gone. And I believe that as the Lord Jesus stood that day, on the last day, the great day of the feast, he knew that there were those with a longing that had not got what they desired when they came to the feast. And he stood and he cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh, I wonder tonight, is there a thirsty soul? Is there a soul that is longing for satisfaction, longing for peace of mind, longing for the forgiveness of sins, longing to know that all is well for eternity? I want to tell you, friend, it's the only thing worthwhile today. It's the only thing worthwhile to know for sure that all is well for eternity, that there's been a moment in your experience when by faith your eyes were turned to Calvary. Oh, I thank God for that moment in my experience many years ago as a poor sinner, bound for hell, burdened with my sin. Younger, I'll admit that, I was just a young person. And there's some possibly the age that I was in this gospel meeting tonight. And I want to tell you there was a burden on my heart. And I longed to know my sins forgiven. And I had tried everything I could try, and I just couldn't seem to understand how to get this matter of salvation. Until that day that I saw for the first time, getting my mind away from myself, my own efforts, my own trying, I got my eye on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would like to get your eye upon him tonight, my friend. The man that died at Calvary, oh, I'll never forget those dear saints. As they gathered that Lord's Day morning, with tears running down their cheek, and they were singing that beautiful hymn, and I love the hymn. "When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." And I will never forget, in my mind I can see that company of believers yet, toning their voices down and singing softly. They sang, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Your thorns compose so rich a crown." As I gazed at that large company of believers that Lord's Day morning, with tears running down the cheeks of most of them, practically all of them as far as I could see, their hearts were touched. Their hearts were moved as they thought of the man of Calvary bearing the marks of his suffering that he endured to put away our sin. And I thought in my mind, why was the Lord Jesus Christ there? What is it that so affects these saints? And I opened my Bible and I began to read Isaiah 53. I've often said I had probably opened there because we used to read before we went out on a Lord's Day morning to the worship meeting. And my father always read either in the 53rd of Isaiah, or he would read one of the messianic psalms that tell of the sufferings of Christ, or he would read one of the gospels that tell about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my Bible just seemed to open at Isaiah 53. We probably read there that morning. And I read down that chapter and I came to these words, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And you know, my friend, it just dawned on my dark soul that morning. I had given up all hope. I had told God that very morning there was no hope for me. I would just have to go to hell. And that's just the way I felt. I'll have to go to hell. I can't understand it. And as I read that verse, I saw that all my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I go free. And it dawned on my soul that he was there for a poor sinner like me. I don't know whether I mentioned before that I was speaking to a young man in Corner Brook after the gospel meeting. One night we were having a series of gospel meetings there. And this young man, he had been raised in a Christian home, but he'd been away for a number of years. But God had spoken to him. He was back and he was troubled about his soul. And we were sitting down and I was going over that verse that God used in my salvation. And I was trying to explain. I said, if this Bible were my sins, and they're on me, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ, his name was Snowden. I said, Snowden, if God took your sins and laid them on his son, and I took my Bible, and as I did, he grabbed my Bible. I didn't know what he was going to do. He said, let me do it. He said, if this were my sins and they're on me, and he looked at his other hand, he said, if this was the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins were laid on him. He said, if my sins were laid on him, and he dropped the Bible on the floor, he said, they're gone. They're gone. I said, is that right, Snowden? He said, yes, it's right. I said, how do you know it's right? He said, God says that he laid all my sins on Jesus, and that Jesus bore them, and the dear fellow got saved. He made the illustration himself, but he got saved that night. Trusted Christ as his Savior. Oh, friend, it's so simple. All our sins were laid on Jesus. He bore them on the tree. And the Word of God tells me that my sins are gone as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And friends, tonight, you can have salvation. I didn't really intend to get on my conversion tonight, but oh, I thank God when I look back to that moment. What a moment in one's life, when we came from death unto life, from the power of darkness into the light of God's glorious gospel, out of the family of Satan into the family of God, on the way to hell, over on the narrow road on the way to heaven. Oh, I tell you, friend, that's a wonderful moment. And I hope there's some here tonight, and you'll get to Christ. It was the last day. We read Paul's words to Timothy. He said words like these. In the last day, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. What kind of times? Times, says the apostle, when men shall be lovers of their own selves, more than lovers of God. Covetous, proud, boasters, blasphemers, lovers of pleasures, we said, more than lovers of God, disobedient to parents, traitors, heady, high-minded, and the list goes on, friend. Those who have more time for themselves than time for God, more time for their pleasure than for the God of heaven. And it goes on to say, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And isn't that the condition of the world we're in today? That's what was happening at the feast. They had a name to live and they were dead. They were claiming to have God and be carrying out his word, and they knew nothing about him. And I like to think that there were those that came to that feast with a longing in their heart. But you know, there were different kinds that came to that feast. I think there were men, because the Lord Jesus later went into the temple, and he found men there sitting at their tables, making money. They were selling the sacrifices to people. Oh, it was very convenient. Instead of bringing your sacrifice along with you, you could go to the temple and you could pay your money to those exchangers there, to those money men, and you could buy a sacrifice and then make your sacrifice. It saved a lot of time and a lot of effort and all that. But you know what the Lord Jesus said about those men? He said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. And he overturned their tables and scattered their money and took a whip and drove them out of the temple. Oh, I tell you, friend, what they're doing today in the name of religion, it's hard for me to describe. It's a money-making business in so many areas today. But there are those, and they came to the feast, and their desire was to get what they could in their pockets. And there's some today, and that's all they're living for. All they can get out of this ungodly world. I want to tell you, friend, it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. You can have everything that you could wish. You can have millions, friend, as far as this world is concerned. And you can die and lose your soul and go down to hell. And you can die unsatisfied and unhappy. I read about a few years ago, I don't know who the wealthiest man in the world is today, but I know one of the wealthiest men in the world that lived in the old country. I read about him one time. I can't recall his name now. Some might know his name. But anyhow, he had a large estate. He had a big wall around his estate. He had guards around that wall. He had bloodhounds inside those walls. He had every protection and every security that one could think of. And he still couldn't sleep at night, thinking about those that would break in and rob him of his wealth or take his life. I tell you, what an unhappy existence. To have all you want, friend, and no salvation. There were those at the feast, and that's why they were there. You know, I believe there was others at that feast, and they came legitimately. They came to worship. They came to sacrifice. They came to obey God's word. But it was an empty thing. You remember what it was like when that Ethiopian eunuch came all those miles, 1,500 or 2,000 miles in his chariot, all the way from Ethiopia, and he came up to Jerusalem because he'd heard about the God of heaven, about the God of Israel. And he came there to find something. I believe he came honestly to find something for his soul. And he went to the temple, and he watched the ritual, and he watched the ceremony, and he saw all that went on. And the poor man came away disappointed, disillusioned, disheartened, and he's on his way back. No satisfaction there. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, there's no satisfaction in the world's religions today. What you need is Christ. I'll tell you one good thing that Ethiopian eunuch got. He got a copy of the scriptures. My friend, if you got a copy of the word of God, that's where you'll find salvation in the word. He got a copy of the prophecy of Isaiah. And there he is, as he's making it lonely, disappointed, way back again to Ethiopia, and he's crossing the desert lands, and he's reading that copy of the prophecy of Isaiah, and he's reading how, about one in that chapter that I have already referred to, that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And he continued to read, he is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And as he's traveling along, he sees a dusty traveler there, making his way along. Oh, God has his men in the right place at the right time. I hope, my friend, I pray that God has the preachers here at the right time just now, that there are souls that long to be saved and want to know their sins forgiven. Philip looked up and he saw the Ethiopian reading. He said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he invited him up into the chariot. Evidently he recognized Philip. This man must know something about the scriptures. And it says that Philip began at the same scripture and he preached unto him. Religion? No. Current events? No. He preached unto him Jesus, Jesus. And he pointed out that the man that was wounded for our transgressions was none other than God's well-beloved Son, nailed upon Golgotha's tree, paying redemption's price in drops of precious blood, the silent, suffering Son of God. No murmuring word escapes the silent, suffering Savior. There at Calvary, He's paying redemption's price for you and me. He could have claimed innocence. There was no sin in Him, no spot in Him. And yet, my friend, He took your sins and He bare them in His own body on the tree. He suffered for you, He suffered for me. And as Philip began to explain that this man, the eunuch said, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as he preached and told him about the Savior that died on Calvary, oh, that eunuch drank in the message. Could you drink it in tonight? But there were those that came to the feast, and there was nothing there to satisfy in the religion. Just an empty sham, that's all it was. I believe there were young people there. And you know, likely the young people went just like many do to have a good time. Oh, it's always a good time when a lot of people get together. And they likely saw their relatives, and they likely saw their friends, because they were all to come to Jerusalem at that time, to the feast. And my, they would have a great time. And 7 days have gone by, and they've been living it up. They've been enjoying themselves. They've had their pleasure and their fun. And the 8th day has come. And this is a great day. It's the last day of the feast. The time comes when they have to leave. The businessman, he's leaving the feast. He might have his pockets full, I don't know. And as he's leaving the feast, he hears a voice. And it's saying, whosoever will, let him take the water of life. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I wonder, is there something better than all this money? I want to tell you, friend, there's something far better. A drink of living water. It's a living spring, friend, that springs up into everlasting life. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit that gives us joy and peace in believing. He indwells, and there's a living stream there. We're told, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his inward parts shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Oh, friend, listen. You get something when you get God's salvation that satisfies eternally. I see the people that came with a religious purpose and are going away like the Ethiopian eunuch, disappointed and unhappy. Nothing there but an empty sham. Why did we come anyhow? Got nothing for our soul. And yonder on the hillside they hear a voice. The voice of the Savior. And they hear him crying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, friend, listen. We can give you something better than religion. The old Diddy used to say, 'tis religion that can give sweetest comfort while you live. 'Tis religion can supply all that's needed when you die. Friend, it's a lot of nonsense. The only thing that can give you peace and satisfaction and comfort is the knowledge of Christ as your personal Savior. And He can be yours tonight. And I see young people and they're going away from the feast. It's the last day. Oh, they've had a great time. They're saying their goodbyes. It's all over for another year. They're looking forward to getting back again sometime later, a year later, back to the Feast of Tabernacles again. But it's all over for now. And they're going away. And they're unhappy. They have to separate. They have to part. The fun is over. Hear a voice crying in the hillside yonder, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, I can see maybe some of those young folk, and they hear the voice, and they think to themselves, my, something better than we've been enjoying. And they turn aside. Maybe there's some of their companions, and they say, look, just a minute. Let's go. That's just we don't know who that is. up there crying. But oh friend, listen, I see some in our meeting tonight with a longing for the salvation of God in their soul. And sometimes Satan and sometimes friends will say, don't get excited about this business. Put it off for now. You can get saved any time. You know all about it. You've been raised in the gospel. I want to tell you, friend, you can't get saved any time. Now is God's time. There are those that separated from them and said, I'm going over there. And they followed the man that was able to give them a drink of living water. Oh, friend, tonight, I wonder, is there one in our company tonight? And you'll make up your mind to come to Christ. I want to say it, the last day of the feast, that great day, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Friend, that's the only place where you'll get a drink of refreshing water. Oh, you say, how can I get it? How can I get it? Friend, all you have to do is stoop and drink. Stoop and drink. You've probably heard before, one of the preachers used to tell us he was going across the desert, part of the United States. I forget just which state it was. But it was hot. They were just longing to get to a place where they could get a drink of refreshing water. And they came to a sign, and the big sign said, fresh water ahead, cool water ahead. Oh, they said, here it is. And they pulled over and they went in. There was a group of them. And they went in and there was the fountain. And they looked around for something to turn on to get a drink. Big sign up there said, stoop and drink. And they tried everything they could all around the thing for a handle, a lever or something for their foot to get the water to come. And they were exasperated, and they were disappointed, and they were ready to leave, and they started to go. One of the younger of the company got looking at the sign, and he thought, that's a strange thing. And he stooped over to look at the thing a little closer, and the water began to flow. He cut the light or whatever it was there, and he started the mechanism, and the water began to flow. Stoop and drink. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to try anything else, just had to stoop down and drink. And the water began to come. Friend, that's all you have to do tonight to be saved. Stoop and drink. Take a drink of that life-giving stream. Come to Christ tonight. God help you, as this meeting goes on, to make up your mind here and now. I'm going to settle it. I'm going to get this matter settled now. I'm going to take Christ as my Savior. God help you, for His name's sake.